Oh my god.
Little feedback.
What was that? Oh god, I don't think record was on when that happened.
That's a good thing.
little air deuce. Little butt trumpet.
Prepare to drop.
What you got there? What you drinking?
Little Formula 50 vitamin water.
Yeah, you know.
Hey, it works for Fitty. That dude's ripped. You seen him?
Yeah, he's nice.
Yeah, I'm on my way.
You gonna get some tats like
I'm
that?
I'm well on my way. I've only been shot 4 times.
You know, you're all inked up though, right?
What?
You're all inked up, like Fitty.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You got like the peck tat.
Yeah, it says thug across my chest and gangsta across my delts. You've seen that, right?
Yeah.
I'm working on getting my level 50 emblem tat on my arm too.
Yeah.
And I got my Halo 3 player emblem on my left bicep.
Rear.
Yeah. That's All right.
Well, I guess it's just you and I.
Yeah, bring us in then.
All right.
We're the Bungie Kids with plasma pistols glowing. It's our podcast show with Brian and friends. And
welcome back to the Bungie Podcast. I'm your host, Luke, and I'm here with just one other gentleman right now. It's a little bit quiet in here. My stalwart partner in crime, Brian Gerard's here.
Yeah, I think doing this as a duo is a little too intimate for me right now.
Yeah, so just so that you're listening at home, and if you close your eyes and you envision the room, it's just a circular
like,
table.
It's pillow talk with Sketch and Luke.
It's a little bit romantic, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. There's we're still trying to shuffle around the chemistry of the show, but I think the third seat needs a body in it. It just feels a little strange.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me page Shishka, and while we're waiting for him, why don't we can just go ahead and get
start,
the show on the
start
road.
Start talking.
Yeah, well, I mean,
so today's show, if Shishka can show up, it'd be good if we can talk about matchmaking.
I think we can do
what's
that.
All the big list of changes for August. It's a pretty sizable chunk of things that we're going to be tweaking.
I've heard just, it's epic.
I mean, it is massive. And then in the second segment, we're going to bring on Paul Russell, who's one of my favorite people at Bungie, but also he's created a bunch of some of my favorite stuff in the Halo games. He's responsible for a lot of the Forerunner, and that's super iconic. This feels like Delicious Dish.
Yeah,
like it feels like NPR. Like I feel like we should go to break.
Good stuff.
And,
good stuff. Yeah.
And try to get your money.
Hot mic.
And I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't like it.
Hey, wait, here he is. He's creeping and peeking.
Yeah,
Wave him in.
Yeah, please.
Come on. Yeah.
Save the show.
Come on. We're just talking about we're not digging the whole pillow talk angle with just the two.
No, getting a little awkward, huh?
There we go.
Yeah.
Yes. Excellent.
It takes it out of that whole like we're dating realm.
Now we're back to our regular microphone menage. So
Etois up in this.
Hey, before we tee up that, Luke set the stage for and what will be an epic matchmaking discussion. But before we move into that, we probably should just really quickly talk about like why it's taking us long to have this next show come out. And
yeah.
A lot's happened since we last spoke to our adoring fans.
Since we last spoke.
And they're so used to the show coming out like clockwork.
Oh,
so.
That was great. I knew he was going to take a dig at it.
Well, I
knew
it.
That's cool. I'd like
I
to start. I'd like more assault rifles on Guardian. That's cool.
In all fairness, though, some people probably read this already, but we did have a show already recorded, already mastered in the can, ready to be deployed.
And it was awesome.
It was part of our big E3 onslaught, but when those plans were changed, our podcast was put on the back burner. So,
but it's not going away. I mean, the podcast is saved. It's done. It's in MP3 format, and it's right now being categorized as like the lost show. So
we'll bring it back. It had some great material.
It's fantastic stuff.
It's definitely going to surface in complete, like complete unedited glory.
All right.
I'll record a pre-reel for the show that talks about how it's anachronistic and you should just, you know, go back in time and imagine.
Yeah, like one of those flashbacks on Lost or something.
Exactly. Okay. And we'll make sure to put that out when it's relevant, I guess.
Well, once we're, yeah.
Yeah.
When the time is right.
Yeah, when we're told the time is right.
But we obviously were, some of us were still down at E3. We spent a couple days down there. Our agenda dramatically changed, so we ended up with really the... Not a lot of official official work to accomplish, more other than meeting a lot of people and networking and
a lot of unofficial work.
Yes, a lot of unofficial skunk works, if you will.
Made some new friends at some other companies. Yeah. So it was good to catch up with some old friends.
Saw some cool stuff. Went to some briefings.
Yeah, the whole internet was watching you guys as you moved from press conference to press conference.
We noticed. We noticed. We apparently are wearing our Bungie shirts, caused quite the stir.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
We were spotted by Kotaku.
Yeah. Damn it.
It's true.
That's an inside joke from the Lost podcast. Yeah. So nobody's going to get it.
Oh, shit.
It's Kotaku.
It's Naruto.
Naruto.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Luke's just poking fun at Shishka's pronunciation of
Kotaku.
No, he's got it now. We got it. He got it right. He's correct.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean,
just all right. I know we don't want to dredge on.
We don't want to drag on
about all
too
our E3 exploits, and we've already agreed off the air that anything that happened outside of the show hours was off limits for discussion. But just really quickly, then.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. Just in a nutshell, highlight of the show for you, or one big takeaway memory that you'd like to share with people that have never been before.
I don't know. I really enjoyed the EA conference, and we've said that a handful of times since then.
Bungie dishes praise for EA and Sony.
but personally, I really enjoyed just the way that they presented things. Like John Riccitiello came on stage and said, "Hey, this is going to be different from the press conference you were just at, and we're just gonna have 12 developers walk you through what they're working on." And some of the stuff they showed was really cool. I mean, the Dead Space game looked pretty interesting.
It looks awesome. The
visuals are incredible, but Mirror's Edge looked really neat. I mean, there's a bunch of cool stuff there, and I like watching just the developers talk about stuff.
Yeah, totally. But what about we were talking about this earlier that. When you were moved to near tears by the Duffy performance.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that really seemed to... I didn't really pin you as a Duffy fan,
but... I'm a huge Duffy fan.
You know those videos of, like, back in the day of, like, when Michael Jackson would play in Germany and there'd be people, like, trampling and fainting
and all
that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's almost like Luke's reaction, but it was, like, just a sea of dead-faced journalists, and then Luke's, like, almost tearing his shirt off, like, sweating, crying. Where did that I Love Duffy sign even come from?
Yeah, like, I can believe it. I mean, like, the day before you guys left for E3, we were at Starbucks, and he showed me one of those Duffy like iTunes cards.
Yeah.
And he's like, "I got one of these, and it changed my life."
Yeah, no, I hope that I can make a Miivatar of Duffy and have it on the new Xbox Live. That would be awesome.
That would, an I Love Duffy shirt for your Me Too or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously though, that was a big surprise.
It was a moving performance.
It did.
Same question to you. Give me a memory.
Dude, you remember infiltrating that keynote when I hijacked the digital whiteboard and wrote that special message for the audience? That was certainly a highlight for me.
The Love Bungie?
Yeah, that was fun. Just kind of making Bungie had a presence. That was our presentation. We were actually, in the keynote.
Yeah.
I don't think that part was covered on TV, but there was a Bungie piece of content displayed in the auditorium. So, you know, E3 was really weird this year. I know a lot of people, if they're like me out there, always dreamed of making the mecca to E3 and sort of just seeing the spectacle but those days are so far gone now. I mean, it's... For people in the industry, I think it's a cool event. For anybody else, it's terrible. There's no booth babes anymore. There's no big extravagant booths. There's no lights. There's no craziness. It's at any given time, we saw like a dozen people walking around the hallways. Yeah. It's
really not the huge party that gamers have always wanted to be able to
attend.
Well,
there's a lot of industry parties at night, but there is no big spectacle. Like, I mean, I remember, trying to sneak in the convention center and having like one pass for 8 people and trying to pass it around and like eating crappy convention center food and just you're exhausted and carrying around like 40-pound bags of swag.
Yeah, like my first E3.
Well, that sounds great.
Oh yeah, it was tons of fun.
Yeah, back 50, in the day, it was amazing.
Laser light show with a live band just right there in the entryway. I'm like,
your ears are ringing.
Unbelievable.
Like, wow, Tony Hawk's doing like 720s in the middle of the convention center. This is great. And there's a thrash metal band. There's an Ultimate Fighting guy doing some stuff. Yeah. And now it's just nothing but a bunch of meeting rooms. And the actual show floor itself, I think, was about the size of our studio. But the plus side is you just walked around. Yeah. You had free access to games. There was, I mean, media and developers can totally interact in a casual manner. And
developers aren't, or publishers aren't spending millions of dollars to have the nicest booth.
It's true.
Know, stuff like that.
Let's some publishers want to do that, though.
Yeah,
that's true.
There's some sore behinds afterwards from big publishers about wanting to bring back the rainmaking.
It's true. Huh? Yeah, but, you know, rattling off my other high quick moments, playing the new Street Fighter was pretty sweet.
You're really good at it, too.
Yeah, no, I dominated the whole Capcom staff. They were arcade cabinets, so I could tell the people I played with probably still playing the arcade daily. And, yeah, they just annihilated me. But the game should be sweet.
We still have arcades in America?
Somewhere.
One or two.
Yeah, I think so. God. We got our Street Fighter machine here in front.
Game Works, like 15 minutes from here.
We're going to have to actually make sure we requisition a new Street Fighter cabinet for the studio to go alongside the classic one.
Oh, we'll be able to get one.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. All right. And then, you know, I was just a big sucker for all the big artsy, innovative, creative non-games that were at E3 this year. It's cool to see people moving in new directions.
Oh, you're into non-games.
Yeah, it's like Flower and
Pixel Junk Eden.
Eden, yes. Yeah. Like in Little Big Planet. Like, just the art style was pretty awesome. So,
that's cool.
Yeah, it was a fun, interesting show. Not really what we originally thought it was going to be. Our intentions and plans dramatically changed, but we made the most of it.
War has changed.
So here we are. We're back doing a frantic makeup show, so we're not, at least a month doesn't pass.
Good times.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of, we just got some hot news. You know, this is the first show since Bungie Day. Bungie Day was heralded by the release of Cold Storage for free. We had a map price drop.
It's true.
But hell, we just saw the numbers. Halo 3 is back on top.
Well, it was the week that we're recording this, but who knows where we'll be the week that this comes out.
Yeah, at the time this was recorded.
So yeah, once again, we're probably in numbers. We're probably in second place to our good friends at Infinity Ward. But this week that we're recording it, hooray. Yeah. Good job, Shishka. Way to bring in the people. Much.
Yeah, good job to our fans as well for snatching up that free map and playing it.
Over what, 1.4 million downloads?
Yeah,
something like that.
About by now, 1.4.
Easily sure. By the time this gets aired, for sure. Yeah, people, who knew? People actually apparently like free maps.
And
jeez.
Then, yeah. Remarkable.
I really. Know.
Be great if it was in matchmaking.
Speaking of,
what a great segue!
Wow,
way to tee that up.
Let's talk about August.
August?
Yeah, because we've got some pretty major changes coming in September.
Yeah, September.
And can we get a bumper produced for Shishka, by the way? So it's like before his segment.
Matchmaking update.
Yes. Just make it sound like I'm up in like a traffic chopper.
Well, that's one of the
matchmaking today is.
That's one of the things that when Sketch and I were at E3, just to diverge real quick, Steve Lopez, the mastering genius behind the podcast, started coming up with some ideas for podcast 3.0, because this version, of course, is 2.0, and 3.0 is going to have one of my big ticket items that he knows that I'd like is a soundboard where I can play the drops while we're talking, so I can just hit the Shishka cue and it'll just blow it into everyone's cans. Everyone's gonna get cans.
Yeah, the other thing is everyone's gonna get cans.
Yeah,
we are.
Yeah, we're gonna have
sweet cans.
It's gonna be a
wow.
It's gonna be a different production. It's gonna be a new thing.
And we're also being promised the technology to have callers, so we could interview people outside the building. We could simulate a live call-in show even.
Sounds like it could be a problem.
Yeah, could be, but we'll see. Maybe our old buddy Mr. Connery might call us back someday.
Oh, yeah. We've got a friend from Biz who I'm sure would love to share some words.
Well, I've heard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, how about that matchmaking? What's the forecast for August?
August update.
Well, August is not going to be very dramatic.
Wah, wah.
August update.
August is going to be pretty small on the change list. A couple things. We're going to add some objective stuff to team doubles.
New objective.
I'm already against the idea of giving you a soundboard.
So
now.
Matchmaking, what you're saying is it's perfect, right?
Not at all. What I am saying is that we're actually minimizing the amount of work we do for August so we can spend
minimizing work.
Sorry, I'm just testing the waters.
I'm vetoing the soundboard.
I'm trying to add some sizzle to your segment. Sorry.
Oh, man.
So, anyways, you're setting the stage. It's
don't think I want to talk about it anymore.
No. I want you.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
All right.
I think you're getting ready to get to something.
So the point is that we're focusing on September. Calm down, Luke. Easy, boy.
Yep. Oh, so September.
Yes. So the focus is actually on September, where we're going to be doing a lot of crazy changes.
That's right. Crazy changes.
There it was. Oh, man.
So crazy changes for September. Seriously, though, jokes aside, September, I guess, would mark the anniversary for Halo 3. Is that coincidental?
Incidentally, that would be the case, yeah.
Okay.
Happy accident!
No, actually, no, it seems like the perfect time to try out some of the more crazy ideas we've had, so there's going to be some pretty big changes to what's going on in Magic.
Smaller, Mauler, Mauler!
Shield doors galore!
Actually, no. Shield doors gone.
Wow.
We're looking at making map variants of both Snowbound and Epitaph that have either reduced or completely removed shield doors. This is all tentative, by the way. That could change.
Wake me
part
when
of
you
the
need
plan.
Me.
Well, yeah, I mean, just to kind of go deep dive on that for a minute. How it's tentative now, but what's the process you'll go through before you make that final call? I mean, shield doors are highly controversial, obviously.
Right.
Some people love them, some people hate them, but regardless, they definitely have an impact to the map and the way it's played. How will you go about sort of assessing that and making that final decision between now and September?
Well, the big part is finishing our version of the tool that'll let me remove the shield doors so we can get those map variants available. And then
you don't just use Forge to remove them?
No, you can't remove them in just Forge. So we have basically an internal, very special version of Forge that, sorry kids, I know you're about to post to the forums how we should give it to you, but that's not even possible because we use it on the dev kits. But we use that version of Forge to do a bunch of stuff that you couldn't normally do, and then we're going to play test the hell out of it and, you know, see, like, this is how Epitaph is going to feel without shield doors. We figure out, okay, this is actually going to be pretty cool. And then that's when we build it into matchmaking.
Gotcha. And then are you going to be looking at things like player spawns, weapon spawns, things like that as well?
We're pretty much going to be looking at all the maps and seeing, you know,
so nothing's sacred.
Like
anything goes potentially. You're going to be shaking it up.
One of the things I heard that I'm really excited about is that the regens are going to respawn even faster on Isolation.
Right.
What about cold storage, though?
Well, our deal with Microsoft is that we're not supposed to put it into any playlist that's not legendary required. Having said that, we're really missing out if we don't do that. So,
come on. Who actually is a serious Halo player these days that hasn't picked up a legendary map pack?
Pretty much.
Come on.
Oh, God.
So it's possible that maybe another playlist or two.
Oh, it's awesome. It's 600 points now. I mean, get with the program.
Sack up. God, it's like a cup of coffee. Right? That's what Frank used to say.
Okay.
All right.
What else for matchmaking? Did we do all of August already?
Yeah,
we're way into September.
Yeah, August
now.
Is pretty much covered. It's really really light because we want to dedicate dev time more towards September and test time more towards September and other things that are coming.
You know,
out.
Something else coming in September that we'll talk more about, I'm sure, in subsequent shows, but we have another title update for Halo 3, which I know is, at least for August, will also be being a little bit of a burden to the test team as well. So
right, yeah, that's again is another reason why it's pretty good that we go light on August.
I predict now that auto update 2 will be highly controversial.
It's going to stir a ruckus, that's for sure.
Battle rifle not changed. Seriously, it's not being changed
ever.
But anything that anything you obviously anything you touch or tinker with now will be highly controversial.
And part of what I mean, we're not just going to be replacing the versions of the maps like that everybody knows. These are going to go in alongside the existing maps, and then So that way, you know, you might get a completely different experience, but you're not being pulled completely away from what you know.
Well, and Shishka's renaming all the new map variants, too, that he puts in. So it's like Guardian Fixed, Guardian F.U. Lars. Like, that's, they're all being renamed.
Huh. All right.
Guardians, you know, Epitaph, No Shield Doors, Suckas, some stuff like that. We're actually, that's part of what AU2 is doing, is it's lengthening the text strings for the maps.
So I can have inflammatory names.
Yeah. Exactly. So that Shishka can alienate his peers.
That's cool. And how's that spec coming for the triple XP Golden Showers weekend?
Coming right along, Sketch.
All
right.
And yeah, I've seen some rumblings on the forums. Yeah. There's actually a fairly vocal group that demands to play that kind of game. So I'm just looking out for those folks.
Well, you're a group now.
It's not me.
I see.
So good things to come in September. Yeah. August will be a
kind of quiet,
a transitional month.
Classic WXP weekends that we've.
Classic.
I've seen some people who are like really into Legendary Brawl coming back.
Yeah, Legendary Brawl will be back.
Awesome.
Good stuff.
The site of my overkill.
Let's see, some other stuff in September. The big stuff is that there's going to be some playlists removed.
Ice cold.
Yeah, like, ice cold. Some examples.
Yeah, what's being cut?
Rocket Race is being cut.
But is it safe to say Rocket Race might resurface as a special weekend deal?
In September, it's going to be a WXP weekend
to
kind of send it off. And we're also going to stick it into multi-team.
Oh.
So people will still get their chance to play that.
Sure.
It's going to skip after Vito, so every time you Vito,
with
you get
SWAT,
Rocket
right?
Race.
It's going to become Rocket SWAT now?
That's right.
We're going to take Rockets and SWAT and just make them into one.
Rockets with no shields. What could possibly go
I mean, right? That's what I'm reading that the fans want.
Oh, yeah.
What website are you using?
It's the Bungie.net OptiMatch forums.
Some other thing. Head-to-head. We know it. We love it. We're going to kiss it goodbye.
Again, maybe it comes back later for a limited appearance or something.
Absolutely. Right. Like nothing.
No, there's nothing wrong with shaking it up. And you guys have the ability now to bring something back for a weekend just to kind of give people a taste. Keeps it kind of fresh. I think that's a solid strategy.
There's going to be some pretty significant changes to the DLC playlists, the ones that are dedicated to the Heroic, Legendary, and Cold Storage downloads. Specifically, we're removing the two existing playlists and replacing them with a Free For All and a Big Team.
Hmm.
And we're removing Social Big Team to make room for the new one.
Okay. And is there any truth to the rumor that all the hardcore playlists are going to now switch to the Fiesta model?
Absolutely. We've been talking to MLG about it for about 3 months. They're really big on the idea of completely random weapon starts.
Yeah, it's obviously the most indicative way to judge pure skill.
Exactly.
It's just to randomize the playing field entirely. Totally. So there is no dependency on any given weapon. You have to really know the entire arsenal of Halo 3.
It comes down to your ability to adapt to what you're given and pure teamwork.
And situational awareness.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. This is all bullshit.
That sounds great, actually.
It'd be fun. Yeah.
I mean, Fiesta LG. Ship it.
I like it.
Well, that's just one button. You just click on random and ship.
Well, hopefully Halo 3 stays on top of the charts. Every week that Major Nelson's report comes in favorably, that's another week that Shishka has a job. So,
Metric for measuring success.
Other things we're looking at, and this is probably going to be something of a megaton for the fans. We're trying to figure out how we're going to start a Team Action Sack playlist using fan-made Forge variants.
Yes. Stash out. Sketch Trap.
Well,
okay.
Sketch Trap is cool, but obviously for matchmaking, we kind of want
Luke
to
bound?
Avoid the Stash Out paradigm. Yeah, Luke Bound would be odd.
I did Rebound.
Oh, Rebound. Sorry.
It's pretty similar to the hardcore variant that we eventually upgraded. I'd like to think it was inspirational.
But you're saying you guys want to be careful it doesn't just evolve into a bunch of crap.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's...
huh, what?
It's not...
Stash is crap bag.
there's that. We have to make sure that we're not using maps that have glitches or maps where, you know, you take one wrong jump and you're outside of the playing field, stuff like that. So we're coming up with a process where we're basically making the map creators kind of vet their own maps against our standards.
Good.
So that's taking a little work to figure out what the details are going to be, and it's going to tweak some people because they kind of just want to say, hey, use my map, and then we throw it in there. But it really just is not that simple.
It never is.
Yeah.
and they'll still be tweaked.
Oh yeah. What else? Lone Wolves, 8 players.
Oh my god. Jesus.
And then just some general sweeping changes. Removal of...
So August is suddenly sounding a lot more significant than you let on.
Well, this is all September.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry.
This is what I'm doing in August for
September.
To get
ready for September. Exactly. Oh, I'm sorry.
What about
all
the mods that I don't want to play in Team Objective? What about those? Are they going away?
Like what?
VIP, territories.
Isn't in Team Objective?
I'm just going by what's on the internet.
It's not on the internet.
I read it all the time.
Luke's really asking about is where's the like one flag, two flag, all the time playlist, and that's all it ever is.
We're looking at the possibility of making a Team Objective into a Team Flag playlist.
Nice.
Where it is nothing but flag.
Yes.
I'm waiting Luke's extremely
Froman?
No, you. Your opinion. I was looking for a word for how to describe how fervent you are about your opinion that this should happen.
Oh yeah, this is like your first day here. I was like, I really want the dude, seriously, here, look, dude. Brian is not gonna do it.
But there's nice. That was a pretty good.
Could happen.
That was an impression of yourself. It could definitely happen. I'm going to look at it. I gotta basically wait. You know,
well,
the public is saying.
Yeah,
versus what
and the other
think.
Thing is like part of the reason why you end up playing when you're playing in matchmaking a typically pretty diverse series of game types, mm-hmm. and maybe some game types that you as a player feel like are suboptimal for what you feel like you should be playing,
yep.
is because we don't want to burn people out. Like I feel like High Ground One Flag is a pretty awesome map. It's a pretty awesome mode.
Sure.
And I've probably played it 3 times in matchmaking, and that's a shame. But if it was all I ever played in matchmaking, then I'd be burned down on it.
Yep.
I mean,
right.
it's just like your big challenge is just striking this balance, right? It's striking the balance between the modes that you know are like grade A, like, you know what, Team Slayer on the Pit is always good. It's mm-hmm. awesome. But if you played it 16 times in a row because you were only cycling through 3 maps in Team Slayer, you'd be pissed.
Exactly. And that's why we use things like Griffball and Team Snipers as double EXP weekends rather than dedicating them their own playlists. I mean, it makes a big difference to the general population what they get to play as, like, this kind of little bonus that pops up and then goes away versus something that's there all the time affecting the rest of the population.
Yep. Well, it sounds like an exciting fall.
Sounds hearty, like soup.
It does.
Yeah, pretty
looking
much.
Looking forward to that.
The Campbell's chunky soup.
I'm sure we'll talk more about it between... In the mini podcasts that come out between now and then.
There's a bunch of stuff we haven't even mentioned yet that is
cool.
on my change list right now. So.
Good, we should talk about that not anymore now because
yeah,
already
we'll
it's
it.
Like it's massively informative and valuable.
Yeah, that's good. And we'll have a lot more information about the auto update as well. Perhaps on the next show even we'll have a special guest to enlighten
yeah.
us further as to what
talk
that entails.
Talk a little
entails.
Bit about awesome. The, there's like we've hinted at before, there's a bunch of changes coming to the core online experience that's going to... hopefully excite and hopefully not frustrate you too
yeah.
much. But right now, we're going to take a quick break.
I think we have one special guest before Paul Russell joins us, actually.
I don't think so.
I think we do.
Is he outside right now?
I think he's coming. I think let's go check. Why don't you bring us to break and we'll go sort it out.
I'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll either be here with Paul Russell or we'll have a different special guest. And the special guest will appear after Paul Russell.
All right, well, we're back from our short break, and we have a new first-time guest, longtime legend here at Bungie, Paul Russell.
Please.
Thanks for coming by, Paul.
Don't hurt me.
It's going to hurt a little bit the first time.
It always hurts the first time.
Yeah, once we get going, you'll ease into it. It'll be
don't
fine.
Forget,
is
stay.
Like, is this like prison rape?
I've never heard that metaphor used.
It'll hurt less if you stop struggling.
Yeah,
type
actually
of
will.
Yeah.
All
right. Just go off the flow. Just go with it.
Just lean in. Let your chin touch it. Let your chin touch it.
You
and,
lost me. Look again.
This metaphor's already gone too far.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, we like to
I
just
feel
keep it
tainted.
Oh,
yeah. You're already welcome aboard, Paul. Bam. Now you know how we roll up in here.
It's
So yeah, what Paul Russell? You guys, everyone's heard about Paul Russell for years. In the last podcast episode, you came up as the artist behind the Killing Carney gag. We'll get to that in a minute.
Let's begin at
first,
the beginning.
Let's take us back, all the way back,
deep.
Back to when Bungie lost $800,000.
Whoa! This is going to be an awesome podcast.
I don't think I'm allowed to talk about that.
No, I don't know. Sounds bad.
Every time I mention something during one of Jim's documentaries, they're always like, "Oh, cut."
Yeah.
So I don't know.
How about we talk about when
Luke's,
you? When
Luke said this episode of our podcast was called Real Talk. So I mean, we're no holds barred.
Don't try and create more work for me.
Luke can edit it. He can edit you in post.
We should call it Top of the Morning on NPR. Like
all right, yeah. Pretend like it's NPR.
Yeah,
okay. Even though. How long have you been at Bungie though?
Well, I've been at Bungie for 10 years now. That's my NPR voice.
That's very monotone.
It might not be coming. Can you? Is he still hot enough in the mic for you?
He needs to just stay. He needs to stay. Stay on
your mic. Cans.
Yeah, I'm just gonna. I'm gonna rest my nose on top of this.
Perfect. Yeah. Hang off of it. Yes, you got to get all up in it. 10 years. So, 10 years.
Yeah, in November. 10 years.
So take us back.
That's awesome.
That was Chicago era.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, whatever. I mean,
were you part of Bungie West or were you?
No, I was squatting in the building at the time and, you know, and I've just followed Bungie out here. So I don't actually do anything. I just sleep here and, you know.
These are lies.
I've got a shopping cart.
Obviously,
you know,
untrue.
For a while,
the shopping cart is real, but.
No, I know.
I thought your job was just photoshopping the team for a long time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You definitely used to hold that crown before I think you've gotten more serious in your work of late.
Yeah, I don't have time for fun.
What were you working on 10 years ago, though? I mean, what's your classically trained in art, I take it? Or?
You want to go before that?
Yeah, just real quickly. Come
sure.
on. We'd like to get to know our...
This is like the first Spider-Man movie. It's your origin story.
Well, I was born on the moon, and I became ripe on a tree, and now I'm soft and moldy, but delicious nonetheless.
All right.
You're like the peaches in the bowl on the counter at my house.
Yeah. Yeah, they're kind of blue fuzz on them. That's good.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so I've worked in on a film commercial shoot that lasted an entire summer
hell of a commercial.
Well, okay, yeah. So this was for
Believe
Sears.
Campaign?
Yeah, that's it. That's been going on since 91. So Ogilvy and Mather used to have the Sears account. Oh, this is going to be an awesome story. And so this company was going to try to steal that account by coming up with a modular approach to doing Sears commercials in which they'd shoot all the products on different sound stages. So you'd have three stages. One, they'd be shooting on one, striking one and then building the next one, right? So
like
it's
a George Lucas approach.
Yeah, so they move the camera track, you know, according to that. And you know, there was hashish, cocaine, Mai Tais on Friday, a lot of drug use, a lot of
the seedy underbelly of the commercial world.
Was
that the same time Marty wasn't doing jingles at that point yet? He'd already moved on, I assume, by this point in time, right?
Yeah, this is I don't know. Right. Yeah, this is 91, so
no.
Yeah.
No, Marty was doing Bungie consulting, I think, as an audio composer at that
point. You know,
point.
Oddly enough, Marty turned 50 that year.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, when we say grizzled, I mean grizzled, like. Hey, is it true that as you get older, your balls hang lower?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. That's because Marty's must be down to his ankles.
So, yeah, commercials, multiple shoots, all summer. And then how'd you go from that to Bungie? Like, what was that transition?
Well, then there were
And you're doing, design, art style work, I assume, on
the
set?
Yeah, I was a deadbeat for a while. I mean, I was, you know, I tried doing cartooning. That didn't really work out. I mean, I couldn't. Whatever, I had an interview that I was late for, so I couldn't work on that one. I did graphic design as a temp for some years, and then that got me a job at the Ravinia Festival in Chicago, and I worked there for a summer doing all the program books and the calendar and stuff, which was really cool because I love that place. If nobody knows about it, if you live in Chicago, you gotta go to the Ravinia Festival during the summer. Beautiful. It's probably the best place in the world to see a concert.
Cool.
So yeah, so I worked there for a summer, which was really awesome, and then that kind of opened a couple doors for me later on down the line. But I was interviewing at a really, really bad, you know, graphic design interviews for, you know, $10 an hour working on microchip catalogs.
We call that Luke money in the biz.
Yes, yes. So yeah, I moved on from that to position at High Voltage Software opened up, and so I worked there for 3 years, and then a friend of mine who couldn't interview at Bungie asked him, hey, are there any other people from High Voltage? And me and this one other guy, Eric, went, and I was the one that didn't sleep through his interview. So
they're captivating interviews.
Yeah. So he ended up but he works for Tippett now, so.
So what was the interview process like there. Then? Now it's a there's a
now
long,
it's like a week long thing.
You know what it was? It was like, so, you know, what was your favorite Bungie game? I'm like, well, Marathon. And they're like, what's your favorite movie? And I'm like, well, I can tell you my least favorite movie is Godzilla. You know, the new Godzilla.
Mm. The one with Puffy on the soundtrack.
It was new at the time. Yeah. So they asked me just questions about like what I was into.
Like, did they ask you like which Saved by the Bell girl was your favorite? I mean, this sounds like a pretty...
No, it was like, do you think Punky Brewster's growing up to be really hot, you know?
Who else was part of like the class of Bungie like 1997-ish? Who else came in around that time? Was that Dave
Marcus,
Dunn?
I think Marcus. Well, Dave actually started earlier, but he was in San Jose. Yes.
Oh,
so
he was at West.
He was in Bungie West. So we had the Halo team consisted of Matt Seguir, Jason, Chucky, Marcus, who had started, I think, a few months before I did. Mm-hmm. I think like 5 months before I did. Sheik started a month before I did. And then we had a guy named Conrad, and Jamie Griesmer came in a little later. And then we had Nathan Bittner.
Still, out of all Nathan that, there's only Bittner. Almost everybody's still here.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could legally talk about Nathan Bittner.
Well, let's not. Let's not even risk it.
I don't think that's a story for the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll save that one for later.
Bungie Knight.
At least you weren't another one of those architect guys that made the fancy leap into the fun world of gaming. So yeah, we've heard a lot of those stories.
Well, I remember when Dave and Chris Lee came here from San Jose, and they're like, "What? We have to use 3D Studio Max? Why don't we build a game in AutoCAD?" And we're like, "No."
Isn't that
how they did on it?
Isn't AutoCAD the thing that I had in shop class where I built like a Santa Claus out of wood? Is that, am I thinking
you can use
right
it
thing?
For machinery and tooling. Yeah.
You can pump those things into
it's also used for like architectural purposes.
CNC machines.
Yeah. And I know my own limited experience with the tool.
Yeah.
I think it's mostly just for, well, no. I mean, it does blueprints and
yeah, you can do 3D
like
stuff in it,
but it's I think one of its big purposes is, you know, to show 3D renders to the clients.
So we really hyped it up before we went into the origin story. Now you know a little bit more about Paul Russell, but you haven't really talked about what you've worked on in the Halo universe that is so defining.
So I built for Halo 1 in Chicago, when it was still a PC game. I built all the Covenant vehicles and Covenant characters. Sheik textured them. So we took those assets with us.
I mean, and these are intensely iconic things that have come to represent Halo for millions and millions of people.
Yes.
Do you ever think about
that? Do you ever stop just think about like how much your work has touched people around the world?
No, because I have more work to do. You've
not yet begun to touch.
What's really weird is I don't often look back and stuff like that. But actually, Chicago, it's like, so we had this long period where we had meeting after meeting, and we were looking at multiple sketches by Sheik and Rob, and you know, and all that kind of stuff in the art end, and then we came to Seattle after the $800,000. We came to Seattle, and then we had like 6 months where we didn't do anything. Because, I mean, well, not anything. That's an exaggeration. But we didn't do much because we didn't have any of the Xbox dev kits, which didn't come until, I think, December of 2000. So we had from June to December to kind of just build stuff. So I built like the Flood characters, you know, I built except for the human Flood, I built the Covenant Flood and the carrier form, the infection form. So I built those things. And then Marcus started building some environment stuff, and it went in the demo. And by December, when we got our dev kits, I had rebuilt some stuff that he did, which kind of went in a direction with the interiors of the Forerunner spaces that we finally said, okay, this is the look, right? Wasn't very refined, but at least it got Silent Cartographer done. And then Chris Lee ended up taking those cues and building that that tower for whatever.
Salt on the control room?
That was before that. What was it, like the second mission? Where you Halo go and you defend, where you Halo. Defend that building, yep. You know, out mm-hmm. there. I don't know anything about our game, so so we did that, and a bunch of the mast shapes and stuff were just some, you know, were just rough renders that I was just putting out on the table as concept for a long time, and we ended up refining that for Halo 1.
You're making it sound like it was an accident.
Halo is a series of happy accidents. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's, you know, it's fly by the seat of your pants, you know, oh crap, we need this now, and what do we do? And Halo 1 was like, the production cycle was January of 2001 to August of 2001. So it's like 7 months of crunch because we had nothing in January, you know, except for characters.
Jeez.
We had no environment, so it was just full steam ahead. But I think everybody's heard that story, right?
Well, I mean, maybe some, but certainly not from you. And I still think some people,
days.
I think, still just find it hard to believe that back then you guys didn't know, like, oh yeah, this is going to be a 25 million selling franchise right here, baby. Yeah. We knocked it out of the park.
I remember Jamie Griesmer said, we're going to sell a million copies. And everybody's like, I don't know. So, you know, because we were like looking down the barrel of the gun and missions were coming together, you know, seat of the pants. I mean, you know, environment artists got to build stuff, and then the designers had to populate it and make it fun. And they had to do it really, really fast. And so missions weren't like planned as much as they were.
Pulled together.
Yeah.
I mean, you said you don't like to reflect, you don't really take, you're just too busy to take the time to reflect back. But I mean, honestly, does it ever just become just mind-blowing to just literally think about how far you guys have come from those early days, how big this thing has become, seeing your concepts, your characters being shot in live action at a workshop and being rendered out in super high-res glory by Ensemble Now. And
no,
just,
it's pretty bizarre, right? Because we've got, you know, what do we have? The people that do effects for Battlestar. We've got all these people helping out with cinematics and who were the people that did that thing that Microsoft
that was the Pan's Labyrinth guys.
Yeah, they did some stuff for
Jesus
us.
Jesus H. Christ.
Cafe FX.
Wow. Yeah, Cafe FX. God damn. Okay, so.
And at some point, there still could very well be an actual real movie, right? That's, you know, some.
Still
who knows?
Hope.
Yeah.
I love Blomkamp stuff. Blomkamp. Yeah. Sorry, Evan.
Yeah.
Nasal.
But just seems to think back to just a couple guys working their asses off, just
throwing
stuff on paper, and
now here
we are.
Yeah, 10 guys.
Oh, imagine if the royalties were split 10 ways.
Thank you, Microsoft. Oh yeah, so here's their compensation plan. They were like, hey, thanks everybody for making the Xbox a big success and putting it all together and, you know, doing some great games for us. So as a reward to you, you're going to get an Xbox 360 or Xbox signed by Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer, or embossed, and you're going to get 5 games and a special controller for $500.
Ooh.
That was true. The 360 was the first time that Microsoft employees had ever gotten like free hardware.
Yeah.
Nobody got a free Xbox One. Nobody.
Yeah. We all had to pay for it, and they all broke. Marcus took it because it was from the new plant in Sweden or something like that, and so all those first gen Xboxes, you know, went, you know, Red Ring of Death or whatever. Oh wait,
whatever it was then.
Anyway,
we didn't have
whatever
a Red
it was then.
I don't know what it was.
The Death Light. So
par for the course.
Microsoft. Anyway. Oh,
yeah,
God.
You know,
we're
going
to get sued. Oh shit.
I guess I didn't actually know how influential you were just at the concept level back then. I more recently sort of personally know you as the guy that just builds super badass Forerunner interiors and sort of set that visual bar. Unless I'm mistaken there, but
how much did I owe you again for that?
Yeah, I'm serious. Luke and I talk about this a lot. I mean, even in all Halo 3's development, some of my personal all-time favorite.
I love you guys. You guys are my new best friends.
Just some of the best.
Love the Forerunner shit.
The Forerunner stuff to me is a huge part of what I mean. It's the Forerunner stuff mixed with these totally natural and awesome environments. It's that, like, the way those two things come together.
I never actually hear about fans talking about that stuff. Like, the only time I ever reading an art critique of some of the work was when the game first came out, and I went in a forum, and the first thing I saw was Pillar of Autumn. Oh, great. More hallways with 90-degree turns. We expected more from Bungie. And I was like, oh, crap. And that kind of...
Well, there's still a lot of that noise out there, too.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know. That's kind of good, because it kind of pushes me to work harder.
But I mean, even to get even more surreal, I mean, let alone the billion-dollar trilogy that's made in money and the 25 million or so copies. But actually, there's like real kids now that you've personally probably driven into the profession solely based on the work you've done on Halo.
Jason Sussman was pretty blown away that I came up with the title.
Yeah, I wanted to tell that. We should have talked about that story.
Had a little more time before Paul's boss comes up here and shuts us down. As everybody can surely tell by now, Paul's at the
he's mission critical was integral, the word that was used.
Integral piece of all that we're doing right now. So we're taking him off the floor at the moment.
It's burn rate.
It's like 5:30, so you know we're good.
You're just now getting started real work now after a day of meetings, right?
So, the fun part.
Yeah, so the name, what's that all about?
We had sheets and sheets and sheets of all these different names. Some of them were really good and some of them were dumb. As I said in one of the documentaries, Covenant was probably the worst name that we had.
They just wanted to call the game just straight up Covenant.
Yeah, and to me, it just, you know, it says, you know, bad 80s metal band.
I was going to say, isn't that a band?
Well, this is going way back to like pre-Macworld, right? So this, because it wasn't the game was already, I remember seeing on the cover of Next Gen Magazine, and by then it was already called Halo, so... Right. This is not even like marketing research from Microsoft. This is all predates all of that.
Right, right. Okay. So to bring up Bittner again, is he actually claims that he came up with the name, but he doesn't work here. So I'm gonna I did actually come up with it. And Bittner, this is a thing. We're sitting there. We just changed it from a hollowed out planet to a ring. And of course there was the bitching about, you know, oh my God, this is ripping off Larry Niven and we can't do this. And that standard stuff. And we're sitting there and we're coming up with, you know, what is it? Solopsis, Red Queen. There were a lot of really strange ones that actually sounded like the new Bond movie title, you know, Quantum of Solace, you know,
right.
Stuff like that. And I said, well, I mean, the Covenant see it as a holy relic and it's kind of shaped like a ring. I mean, why don't we call it Halo? And everyone went, shut up, Russell. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You know, on to more serious titles, and then they went through another list. And, and it's really weird. I think we ran out of time or something, and I came in one day, and everybody's like, it's Halo. And it wasn't like, Halo's great. It's more like, Yeah, it's Halo. Like, we can't think of anything else. It's catchy. They were worried about it. They were also worried about people getting confused between Halo and Messiah. You know, and they wanted to avoid religious.
It's a religious
game.
The games really avoid all sorts of religion.
Yeah,
there's no religion in Halo. What are you kidding? Anyway,
I don't think I ever heard that origin story.
Not in that amount of depth.
Because all it ever was. Yeah, just
so then you guys had to resell the name after being acquired by Microsoft, because I have heard those stories where all of their focus research basically said that name was terrible and it wasn't going to sell.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't there a deck somewhere?
There is. I found a PowerPoint deck in the old office. I'll bring it in and show you, but it was all their marketing research showing why the game that Bungie was making at the time was not going
to
be very good.
And it, like, they wanted you to have like spiky-haired protagonists and big swords. And
this research seemed to have a huge... highly skewed towards like how do we make Halo a game that's going to be popular in Japan back when they had
a problem. They had a problem with the elites because they said the elites look too much like cats.
I did see that quote.
And cats don't sell in Japan because cats aren't supposed to be bad. Like if you ever have a cat represented to the Japanese culture that cats are actually a sign of good fortune, and if you're being attacked by cats, that goes against the...
So do you think really the Xbox's sort of failure to get traction in Japan could just all be tied back to your decision to how
it's
you design the elites?
Fault.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. No, we're to blame. We've offended the entire nation in Japan.
I'm glad that we got that out of the way.
Yeah, I know. And I've always wondered.
Yeah, and I think that when we go to war again with them, Bungie, right? Because remember, world domination.
Yeah, right.
At some point, we're going to have to take some nations down in Japan. I think they're going to lobby attack.
It's going to be a hell of a slingshot. Are we going to ally with China for that? They have a lot of people.
I don't know. Can somebody tell me the obsession with the number 7? I haven't picked up on it
yet. I thought you'd know. You've been here for so long.
No.
There's a wiki site that some fans started that, like...
I read that.
I like to think they're all amazingly intentional.
But I think that all that site did though was just talk about how many times 7 is referenced to.
There's no underlying explanation for it. Yeah, but I still think maybe half of those examples just happened to work out that way. But
it's funny.
I don't know. I thought
Donna Marcus saying that the Ark portal on Earth had to have 7 petals on it.
All right.
And I thought that was funny.
It just seemed like maybe that's something somebody started long ago and just sort of ran with it and it permeated everything from that forth.
Might have to ask Jones about that. He might have some.
He'll never tell us.
We'll ask him on the podcast. Yeah. In fantasy land.
Coming in 2020.
I honestly think that Jones would probably have more to say about it because I think that he's got a lot of his stuff is in his head, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that he probably drew that from some obscure biblical reference or something like that.
Yeah, well, it does.
7 pillars of salt.
It fits with Halo. I mean, yeah. Do you actually have time to play mini games yourself outside of work?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that.
Just curious. We tend to ask people.
I enjoy making them, but it gives me a headache playing them.
Fair enough. I know actually quite a few. We have a mix downstairs. We have hardcore game nerds. We also have people that just have families and other obligations.
Yeah, I lodged a little criticism on a forum. I read somebody saying he doesn't like playing games. How could he possibly redo Blackout?
I mean, technically you're not claiming to be a gameplay designer. You're making awesome art, right?
But, so yeah, that's part of it.
Multiplayer map's a little different because obviously it has to have some design aspects to it to play.
Well, but
let's talk about Blackout specifically, though.
Wait. Let me just finish saying that you know, having been here for 10 years and being in the industry 3 years before that, like I've been in the video game industry for 13 years, and you get an instinct for gameplay. You get an instinct for how big a space should be, what kind of cover it needs, you know, that type of thing, right? And so I propose a lot of design ideas initially when I'm building spaces that we actually end up shipping with. And sometimes I'll just put stuff in my mass outs that before we even have design involved, that design actually incorporates because it's, you know, it works. It's just, you know, it's just something where you look at a space and you get a feel for it and you say, yeah, this is going to be fun. I'm going to put these things in and we go from there. So, you know, it's just, it's really weird. It's like making them is kind of like playing them because you're constantly looking at it and saying, well, hey, is this going to be fun?
Mm-hmm. So. And then at that point, it does actually get iterated on, and you are running around in your actual space. So I don't know if that's too common in a lot of other studios, but I get the sense that the level of collaboration and overlap downstairs is not something that everybody else tends to do.
It's really a democracy here. I'm going to say that most other video games from companies, from people I've talked to, usually have some guy that sits in a high leatherback chair and thinks he's the, you know, Polish Michael Corleone or something like that. And so, you know, favoring programmers over artists and, you know, giving people a short shrift and pushing people up to management positions that probably shouldn't be there and stuff like that. Like, you hear these stories all the time from all kinds of different companies. And you know, Harold, who runs the studio, sits on a tiny little desk in the middle of the floor with everybody else, you know, understanding that there is no big head here, that everybody contributes to the entire company. Every single person here from the contractors up have an equal stake in the company's success. And we reward that, and we try to keep these people here. That is pretty amazing.
I mean, that obviously has something to do with the fact that you've been here for 10 years and you're still here.
Yeah, so maybe I'm disillusioned. Maybe I think the way they treat me is the way they treat everybody.
Yeah, don't tell anybody else what they're doing for you.
I'm like, wait, Luke's
sitting
steak?
There getting more and more bitter.
What's going on? Man.
So,
but yeah you
that
you
was like the best recruiting pitch I've ever heard.
It was.
Yeah, like, that was awesome. I'm gonna cut that out.
What about the free
iPhones?
But yeah, what about Blackout? We probably should talk about that just briefly because you were featured on the website a little bit. I think you you popped your head in the forums around the time Blackout was released to kind of see what the fans were thinking
about Pi.
I care more about Pi than
yeah, Blackout. Most of us probably
do. I think people got that impression. They were like, you know, he's good at talking about Pi, but he makes a lousy remake of Lockout.
Well, you know, we have a fickle audience, like, but I think the people that loved it are the people that are playing it, and the other people are the ones that are just going to find stuff to bitch about. And I mean, keep in mind.
No, but yeah, and I think the other thing that's really cool about that is that people are finding new things on this map that weren't in the old map. But so what was missing from the old map is replaced by like 10 other things that are really cool and fun.
Yeah, I think it plays great. I mean, I remember we were joking back when at one point when it really was Blackout and it was like you couldn't see anything. It was so super dark. But even then, I had like a really the first time I saw, I didn't expect it to be this installation at night. Like, I had no idea what path you guys were going to go down. But
so the first thing I said this in the Q&A about it is I was really, really tired of working on Forerunner stuff, you know, being the go-to guy. And, you know, and it's really strange.
Now you're reinvigorated, though, knowing how much your Forerunner stuff has touched us, right?
Yeah, but it's not, you know, it's not. I mean, it's not just me, right? I mean, if you look at the Halo 1 Forerunner stuff and you look at the Halo 3 Forerunner stuff, I mean, they're not very much alike. And a lot of that is this iterative process that other people are involved with. Like, I can't emphasize enough the impact that Chris Lee had on Forerunner stuff. And Frank Capizzuto in Halo 2 really defined a whole other side of Forerunner stuff that we hadn't seen before. He understood it, and he took it to a level that, you know, that didn't previously exist. And then in Halo 3, you know, there was a spot, I think, in the Wastelands. What do we call that mission-wise? What's the
Arc.
Name of it? Arc.
Yeah, the Arc.
Yeah.
It was Waste.
So in the Arc, I wanted to rebuild Silent Cartographer. I wanted to do it the way I always envisioned it, right? So I got to do that, the interior spaces of that.
With the back-and-forth glass hallways. Right?
Yeah,
and the scarab encounter.
Yeah, and the way
you go into
the building, right?
Yeah.
And you even everything down to the shaft, right? I mean, it was a reinvention in a way because it had different gameplay requirements, but it's everything that I thought it should have been, but we didn't have the budget to do it. So adding all that detail to it, and I don't know if anybody's picked up on that, but that was my big focus with the Arc. And then reusing.
I would love to have like a Paul Russell inspired Forerunner multiplayer map someday. Like that would be really fun.
We kind of did that with some thing that we were thinking about.
Oh yeah, it might be. Maybe my wish will come true someday.
Could be.
What? You're looking at me funny.
I don't know. You're falling asleep over there. You're the host.
You're
fuck,
keeping
Luke?
It alive.
Pick it
I'm
up.
Fine. Just relax.
All right, God. Just also checking the time.
I do keep checking the time.
I'm
afraid that our boss is going to come and shut us down, and it's going to be embarrassing and make us look uncool to my mom.
Yeah, he's going to be like, get back to work.
Or we're going to disappoint fans out there when...
We're not going to disappoint anyone. It's 55 minutes deep. It's time.
All right.
I love this, by the way. I've never had so much smoke blown up my ass in one sitting.
So you'll do this again, is what you're saying. You'll come back anytime.
Really? Okay.
Well, the Forerunner stuff is my favorite stuff.
You know we're bigger than Oprah now, right?
We're bigger than Oprah?
This podcast is bigger than Oprah's podcast.
Oh, absolutely.
We're number 20 in the world.
You know Adam Curry from MTV started the whole podcast craze?
Really?
I didn't know that. I think that's pretty funny because he's such a douche.
Hey.
Good stuff.
Good times.
Yeah,
good
for
times.
Sure. I don't think we've heard of that. Oh, you know, also I don't know if we have time, but Killing Carney was something that came up. Luke's fixing to
I gotta have Carlos
revitalize it for the web.
I knew you guys were gonna ask about Carney. See,
what is Carney your obsession
Carney,
with
Carney? Carney has a restraining order against me talking about him.
Oh, okay.
So no, but I'll do it anyway.
But before Carney, was there somebody else before Carney? I mean, have you always just picked somebody and just kind of needled them and prodded them and
until people said that Dunn was my muse for a while.
I think even Dunn said that. Yeah. He was so happy when Carney was hired and sort of took that off.
Yeah, took the mantle off. Well, yeah, it's just, yeah, sometimes I just need a new person to pick on, basically. Hmm. But Dave was always talking about the docks and how wonderful the docks were and, you know, meeting all the sailors down there and, you know, having the kind of times that you would have at the dock. You know, I'm sure you have. I know I have. You know, we love the docks. Hmm. And so I would draw pictures of Dave at the docks, you know, in the old porthole and...
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever happened to that dock party that you guys won for the holiday party auction? I know you outbid. Yeah. It was me and an army of fans pulling together to have a fan party at Jones' docks, but then you guys ended up winning. But that never happened.
It never happened. Hmm. And you know the great thing about it was Dave was going to run a boat.
Yeah, I remember. We were gonna dress like pirates.
Yep, we were going to come from one side of the lake to his side of the lake, and we were going to crash that party with swords and.
I don't think that offer really has expired necessarily.
It never will.
Yeah. It'll probably never be redeemed.
Redeemed either.
Well, yeah. I mean, how are you gonna repel a boatload of pirates just showing up at your dock, right? I mean, you can go the right way and announce yourselves, or you can just show up and make it happen.
Well, now that Jason is living with two people, he might not, you know.
True. It might not go over so well. That. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So Carney. He's short and he's a good sport.
You think Carney will? Do you think a new muse might walk in the door someday here at Bungie, or is it always going to be you and Carney till the end?
Anytime I can, you know, draw a picture of Carney with the caption "Daddy No," I think, you know, I think I won't be able to resist that.
Well, I have the complete Carney collection, right? What are these? Yeah. Give us some insight into what the Killing Carney series is.
It's Carney as a little boy, and every single one is basically his parents trying to kill him in very creative ways. One of my favorites was the it's not the pretend it's a popsicle son one. It's I think it's the one where he's buried up to his neck in the backyard and his father's mowing the lawn towards his head.
Oh my god. Might have to age gate him.
I think that's mature content. Yeah, ESRB may not be too down with that. Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing those when Luke rolls them out whenever. Yeah. I remember the dream.
His mom saying, "Are you dead yet?" was a good one, too.
I don't know. I'd be scared of anybody that would fall into your crosshairs.
We talked about that at lunch one day, how we thought that would be like just a bad situation.
Did I tell you again how awesome we think your foreign art is? I think we might be running near the end of
I think we're running near the end of time. I think adults are going to come up and shut us down.
Any closing final thoughts for our listeners out there?
Go easy on the pie form. It's a good thing, you know. People are very angry on the forums, and it's a nice place to go to not be angry.
I wish that advice was going to be heated, Paul. I really do.
I know. We could
make a special, like, your own forum on BNet if you want, like Paul's Happy Fun Time Place.
I don't have time for that. Actually, if there was one request I had to make about BNet is actually have an art critique forum. Yeah. Hmm. You know, asking, you know, people their input on... You know, characters, environments, vehicles.
I just don't know if you're going to get the level of response that you're looking for.
You're going to get a response.
They will respond.
You know what? That might be fun.
We can certainly try it.
Yeah. I don't know. Might be interesting.
I wish we had the ability for call-ins because we can just open the phone lines right now and
You know, I was going to suggest that.
Yeah, we're working on that technology. Yeah. We'll be there. We'll ship a few more titles. We'll actually have it. But
Bungie Podcast probably 3.5.
Yeah, we're working our way toward it. I mean, you already can see we've got professional soundproofing in here now and stuff.
Yeah, what is it, like every 3 feet we have some foam?
Hey, this is strategically laid out. Like Steve Lopez, our audio engineer, I guess modeled this room, did a bunch of special...
I've been hearing some stuff this show, I heard knocking.
We have a rattling
going
on with the heat with like the air duct up here. We'll need to talk to Steve about that.
We'll talk to him.
Yeah. Well, Lopez is way ahead of his time.
I mean, if we can beat Oprah with this, I mean, imagine what we can do when we get some real power behind us.
Yeah.
It'd be like the Stern Show. It's the dream.
Pretty much.
Everyone in glass rooms.
Coming soon, HD radio.
I love that we have a podcast.
It's fun. Well, we're glad that you were able to join us. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, we technically put one out, what, over a year ago? I mean, we were on the cusp at one point, and then we just kind of got a little busy.
You guys put one out almost 2 years ago.
Yeah, you're right.
The first one was a long time ago.
You may have beat Adam Curry. To the punch. You may actually be the first podcast.
Yeah, but we might have been one of the first game dev podcasts or pretty close.
But you guys did one show and then
9 months
later.
That's how we do. We pop in, we drop it, we make our mark, and we step out and see what people can do.
Nice.
And when we felt the time was right, nobody had yet to attain that level, we decided we better re-enter the arena. I mean, that's how we roll.
Yeah, yeah, because we're bigger than Oprah.
Exactly.
That's right.
All
right,
well, Luke, are we done? Are we wrapping?
I think we're going to take a quick break and...
we have a special guest that we're going to try to bring in for a pickup segment.
We have one more special guest that we're going to try and bring back.
It's not me?
Well, we have you, but then I think we're going to bring back Jerome Simpson.
He's got a few scenarios to popular demand, yeah. He's had a lot of fanboys calling him out, ready to come up here and test his security skills. So we just want to see what he thinks
about
that.
Oh, could it be the Jizz from Biz? Do you think he might?
Maybe.
He might come by?
We can only hope.
This would be amazing.
Who knows?
My God. Yeah, that's right. I wanted to bring a laptop up and bring the MP3s of Jason.
Oh my God.
Because, you know, they're on my Dropbox. And
yeah, you're right. And are we allowed to do that? Is there any sort of legal ramifications?
Security concerns, but.
Well, no. What if we mask his voice?
Right now we're getting into it.
Oh, we can make a transcript. I could retranscript. See, that's it. We could make it
like a radio drama kind of thing.
Yeah, that would be great. Like it. But it would be blindsided. It would be like a monologue, you know. Hey, dude, this is Jizz from Biz. I'm your biggest fan. Why didn't you? You know, like, he gets really angry and everything.
I like this.
All right. Well, I think we'll have to bring you back on.
Are we
going to
end up bleeping Jizz from Biz because of some legal concern?
No, I don't think so. Not at this point.
You'll be back on the show anyways, because
what you're working on
currently, we'd love to talk about as soon as we're allowed to do so. So
I could drop a hint and say it's like the building of the Columbian Exposition in Chicago and how that was like, you know, they ended up 3 years trying to get the contract, 3 years having to build it and having it all like flood and burn down and then get built in 2 months.
So we're 6 years and 2 months away from releasing what you're currently working on? Is that your hint?
I don't know.
Well, ideally,
I'm so confused.
Ideally, that would be the schedule.
Okay. It might be now that you've been up here for the last half an hour.
plan to be amazed by the amount of work we did in such a short a time.
Wouldn't be the first time.
that's the way we roll.
All right.
Probably
procrastinate
won't be the last.
And then do it all at the last minute.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with a few implausible scenarios for Jerome. Back, and before we sign off, we're bringing back like a new fan favorite, really.
Yeah, a potentially new staple on the show. Due to popular demand, we're happy to welcome back Bungie security expert Jerome Simpson.
Thanks for coming back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
There's a bunch of questions after your last appearance, and one of them was about just the sheer, I don't know, manpower of your voice?
Yeah, you'd be surprised. I mean, we've talked to you about this off the air, but the kids loved you. You were a huge hit last time. You brought the podcast to a whole new realm, so we're happy to have you back. And has being on the podcast, how has that changed your life?
Well, it's different, and I'm happy. I'm glad I have fans.
You do have fans.
Is it helping you get any chicks?
Not yet.
I didn't know you were on the prowl, actually. We could certainly put the word out.
Yeah.
Just because you're choke slamming punks at our door doesn't mean you're not a teddy bear outside outside the office, right?
That's for sure. All ladies remember that.
You know, a lot of our fans are almost demanding that they want you to appear in Bungie's next game. Your voice has to be in the game. What do you think about something like that?
It's exciting, and I'm willing to try.
You've never done any kind of professional voice work before? You do have a very unique and powerful voice.
We should, you know what we should do? I just thought of this. What? We should just come up with some lines off the top of our head and have Jerome deliver them.
Feed Jerome some lines. Give him some. Give him proper context.
Right. So, why don't you give me an I need a weapon?
I need a weapon.
Okay. A little faster. I'll direct like Marty. Faster. More intense.
I need a weapon.
All right. Yeah, I could see that.
I could see
it. It works.
Do you?
What do you say? Okay, now I walk up to the door and I say, I need to speak to Jason Jones right now. I have a huge problem with this weapon in Halo. What was your response to that?
Is it you saying it, Brian? You're like an 18-year-old.
Sorry, yeah, pretend like I'm a kid that just came up and...
I need to talk to Jason Jones about the VR spread.
Yeah. What do you say to something like that?
Well, you at first have to get Jason Jones' permission. You wouldn't just come in here and ask for Jason Jones.
Well, I mean, what would you say if someone is showing up?
I really need to talk to him real bad. It's real important.
I would tell him I'm sorry, but that's not possible.
But I really want to talk to him.
Well, you're not going to talk to him here.
Well, this pair hasn't been declawed. It's go time. Seriously, though, a lot of fans have been joking on the forums about how, Jerome sounds like a cool guy, but I'm totally willing to come down and try to cause a scene at Bungie. Has there been any kind of increase in security threats since the podcast?
Not yet.
Some people are questioning, you don't really have something behind the counter. Like, there's been some debate about whether or not you're just talking some stuff there or... Hmm. Not that you need it. I mean, I've seen most of our fans. I still think you could do a dual choke slam and take out like a whole clan.
Bungie's protected.
All right. Well, that is true. I have seen. Have you seen his new super high-fangled security system he has on there? Right. Like he's got cameras all over the building.
Yeah.
Never knew Jerome had that.
Well, and then there's a thing I saw when I walked in one day. You swipe your card at the door and your face pops up.
Yeah.
Your face pops right up on the screen.
Yeah.
It's like boom.
And then he can like just key it in and sort of track your movements anywhere on the premises.
Yeah. It takes like a bio-heat signature of you and tracks you to your desk.
So is it true when the team gets their new iPhones that you'll have the ability to also track us at home as well?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's something we were all worried
about.
Yeah,
we were a little concerned that GPS might be used backwards. So, all right.
Luke, you said you were homesick today, but your coordinates show Los Angeles.
Do you? Another question a lot of people asked is: do you consider yourself much of a gamer? Do you play video games very often, or do you play Halo very much outside of work?
With my son, occasionally.
Yeah.
Does
he usually beat you, or does he let you win?
Always. Oh, okay. He stays up to 4 in the morning playing.
Playing the Halo?
Yes.
Does he think it's pretty cool that you work at Bungie?
He loves it. He went to the picnic the other day. And, oh, yeah.
Yeah? Would you let him meet Jason Jones?
He's 400 pounds.
Wow.
Oh, my God. He can meet anyone he wants to.
So he's gonna be bigger and tougher than you when he grows up?
Much bigger. He's already all that.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I haven't seen him around here.
He
plays semi-pro for the Titans, and the score Saturday was 59-0 their way.
Wow. Impressive. He doesn't need to be wasting his time with video games then.
Wait, what? What? I missed
all that. Pro football. He's semi-pro football at the moment.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Fair to us.
Dominator.
So your son could kick your ass?
Most definitely.
Is that as a father, is that a hard thing? Is that a hard thing? I mean, I feel like my dad knows I could throw him a fierce whooping if I need to, but I don't know that he's accepted it yet, man to man.
Oh, I'll give him a run for his money, but he would win.
Really? You don't think at the end of the day, just your sheer experience might overcome his actual just brawn and power? I mean, he hasn't been around as much as you. He certainly hasn't fought a bear.
Right, but 400 pounds, 6'4". At 23, I think.
Jesus.
Maybe start off with like a little cougar or something, or like a little coyote or something. Or I just wonder, what's the rite of passage at the Simpson house? Well, I'm relieved yet sad to hear that we've had no security breaches or no one's shown up and tried to get in your face. We had a lot of big talkers out there that were going to try to make a name for themselves. And
one kid on a message board, a kid named Dax, came by, and he had his dad come to the door and like try to pull the door open, but you weren't at your post at the time, so they had no Jerome interaction.
Somebody was at the post.
Somebody, I'm sure somebody was there.
It wasn't left unguarded. It was... You know, we have a, at the end of the month, there's a gaming expo coming up called the Penny Arcade Expo. It's in downtown Seattle. We're going to be down there with a booth. Some of the fans might actually love it if you were able to stop by on either Friday, Saturday, or Sunday and meet some people. I don't know, how'd you feel about something like that?
I show up.
We also, do you do security off-site?
Oh, we talked about
Luke's
this.
Luke's going to be down there, and he's made a lot of enemies online. A lot of the kids just hate Luke. Yeah. And I'm mildly concerned about his safety while he's in the booth. To the point where we may have to actually have on-site security to kind of keep things in check. I mean, you know how crazy these fans are.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, would you be opposed to that if we had to have you come in and regulate? You do that for us?
Sure will.
All right, all right.
We talked about that at E3, how it would be sweet if we had security with us when we were at E3, too.
Yeah, no, it would have been. Next time we need on-site, like, you'd be willing to do that, right? As long as you had somebody good here to man the home base while you were away, you would accompany Harold Ryan on a business trip and sort of back him up, right?
I sure would.
A little earpiece in, maybe? We'll get you in some nice threads.
Yeah, that's the thing, like, throw up the...
Yeah,
throw
we talked
the,
about...
We'll throw rent, up the Armani, you know, rent the lathe.
Get an Escalade for us. Yeah, that's what we're thinking.
And then you just... We were talking about it, like, we roll into the parties and, you know, you make sure everything's okay, scope the scene. Mm-hmm.
What's the maximum amount of fanboys that you would feel comfortable taking on at once? Just like an average size fan. Like some,
a Gossett.
Like Stosh.
Yeah, like a Gossett or a Stosh. Like, how many of those guys could you fend off at once, you think?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, under normal circumstances, if four guys came to the front door, I don't think it'd be a problem, but is a dozen? I mean,
what's the breaking point?
You will be no man.
No, come on. It's a real talk. You can open up. This is all hypothetical. You'd never hurt anybody without just cause, of course.
Right,
but.
Right. It depends on the situation. Whatever presents, I'm there.
I mean, you're just sitting out front on a quiet, regular afternoon. Everyone's already left, so it's, you know, maybe you're working the night shift that day. Just quiet. There's nothing going on. Next thing you know, here comes 12 fanboys marching towards the front door. They're on a mission.
Well, they know they've been fighting. You know, there'd be some hurt people.
Are you worried? So you don't. Would a dozen be too much? You think they'd overwhelm you at any point, or you're a dozen still well within
would
the realm?
Would I run? No.
Oh, I don't think you'd run. I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think no matter what the odds, you would go down and fight. No matter what,
exactly.
I mean, they'd have to knock you out,
right.
Incapacitate you, or you're not stopping.
They have to win.
That's right. That's right.
If you had to liken yourself to a superhero, superheroes are a big deal right now. What superhero would you liken yourself to? Like a Batman, you know.
Superman.
Now, why'd you pick Superman? Just because
he's dominating.
Dominates. He's unkillable. I don't know where Brian just went. He just made a face and had to leave. I don't know. Maybe he got a. Maybe he had some hot dog for lunch coming back up. I don't know.
Anything. Just stand here.
Okay. Okay, Brian just came back.
I just stepped out. We were talking to Jerome about what happens if fanboys tried to mob the building. So I went and got Stosh to step in. So take a look. I mean, this is...
Let's size him up. Let's see.
What would you do to Stosh?
So let's say someone like this size gets really pushy, gets kind of up in your face about wanting to get in, talk to Jason. Maybe,
won't take no for an answer. They've been loitering on the parking lot. Maybe they use their keys and scratch Jason's car a little bit, or they've threatened Luke outside of
makes
work.
Makes physical contact.
Yeah, I mean, look at that. Isn't that a face you just want to choke out?
They would leave the parking lot one way or another.
Oh, okay. That was all we needed for Stosh. Okay. Just we needed to size you up for context. You're representing all the fan community right now.
That's cool.
Thanks for that, Stosh. Keep up the hard work out there. If not, Jerome will come see you.
Need some help up here.
Okay. Yeah. We need someone to get tased. See, Luke and I daydream about having some just tasing people up here. I mean. In a lot of ways, I mean, Luke is almost the online equivalent of you. I mean, he represents and regulates people. He bans them online, so he can't physically hurt them, but he can hit them where it counts and prevent them from playing Halo 3 online. Or,
actually, I'm not allowed to do that. Real talk. Shishka is more like that.
Yeah, well, you banned from the forums.
Yeah. I'm not a gamer.
So you're just a whistleblower.
Yeah.
And then you have other enforcers.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm the girl.
All right. Well, we'd like to thanks to Jerome again for coming back on the show. And people that want to send questions into Jerome, you can go over to bungie.net to the podcast group And I'm sure in the forums we'll always be taking questions and feedback, and Jerome will no doubt.
The Jerome scenario creator.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking for, you know, somebody somewhere to come up with a really ingenious scheme to somehow thwart Jerome's security, and let's see what Jerome would do in that case. I know you can't give away all your secrets. I mean, you've got a lot of stuff that you have to keep close to your vest, but...
But you know, there is a vest, friends.
Yeah, and it's plated. It's got spikes. And hopefully maybe Jerome will even be able to stop by our booth at PAX in August, and he can meet some fans and double as a security for
it's
us.
It's like one of the costumes from Legion of Doom, if you remember those guys with the huge spikes on the shoulders. It'd be sweet.
Remember back when we first went independent, we were at one point considering having all of our security staff wear that Mjolnir armor that we have downstairs. But it just became a little... It's just not mobile enough. We need you more agile, more on your toes. All right, well, any final words to your new adoring fan audience out there? They just love the sound of your voice, so you just want to take us out.
Yeah, well, do you want to do the outro to the show? You can say thanks for listening to the Bungie Podcast, and you know, we'll be back soon.
Thanks for listening to the Bungie Podcast. We'll be back soon.
The Bungie Studios podcast is produced by Tom Giaconda and Chris Gossett. It's mixed and mastered by Steve Lopez, hosted by Brian Gerard and Luke Smith.